In our continuing coverage of government shutdowns around the world, the other big news over the weekend was Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi apparently accepting a political roadmap to peace, a proposal from the African Union. The plan calls for an immediate ceasefire, which seems to be in place at this hour, cooperation with humanitarian aid groups, and a dialogue with the rebels. But it doesn't require Muammar Gaddafi or his sons to step down. Joining us live from Tripoli is the BBC's Middle East editor, Jeremy Bowen. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning to you.
So what? Give us the outlines of this peace deal. And given that Muammar Gaddafi won't be leaving immediately, how could it possibly satisfy the rebels who have insisted that Gaddafi go as sort of step one?
Well, that's a big question. And it was interesting they came here first and they spoke to Colonel Gaddafi at his tent. And he looked a little bit tired, but his supporters were outside and he paraded in front of them, punching the air as usual. And it was interesting that President Zuma of South Africa referred to him as brother leader, which is a terminology used by Libyans. And, of course, the rebels on the Benghazi side will look at that and think, wait a minute, this guy's biased in his favor.
Now, is this about the African Union trying to establish credibility in negotiating some sort of a peace deal? And is Zuma more on the line than Muammar Gaddafi here?
Well, you see, the African Union has benefited quite a bit from Libyan money in the last couple of years, and that's another reason why I think on the rebel side they may not trust their mission. You know, let's look at it on the positive and bright side here. Perhaps a group of Africans can get through to Libyans in a way that Westerners can't. But certainly for Colonel Gaddafi, the absolute good point of that peace plan is that it doesn't require him to step down immediately. Now, in the last couple of weeks, there have been various intermediaries who've set out here from Tripoli and come back, and they've been to London and various other places. And the message they're coming back with is, yes, we can talk, but Gaddafi has to go. And the rebels say his sons have to go as well. And so as a result of that, that's where it stands. And that, at the moment, is a big stumbling block to any kind of effective diplomatic process.
Let's move a little wider than Libya. Before we leave Libya, though, for a moment, does NATO have anything to say about enforcing this ceasefire and the stability of the ceasefire? And what of the violence over the weekend in Egypt? Nation building seems to be hitting some snags over in Egypt, just to the east.
Well, in terms of NATO, they've welcomed the fact that there is an AU mission here at the moment, but only in fairly general terms. In, you know, if you look wider in the region, I think that the important things to bear in mind is that this place, this region, is changing. It's changing in a really profound way, and it's driven by things like the fact that there's this large younger generation, 60% more or less, it varies from country to country, but about 60% of Arabs are under the age of 30. It's driven by the desires of that generation and others as well who've been excluded from power. So things are changing, but I think that some people had a little bit of wishful thinking after the rapidity of the changes, the revolutions anyway, in Tunisia and Egypt, that it would all happen very neatly and it would all be done and dusted by the summer. It's not going to be quick. It's not going to be easy. But it is happening. And the other thing to think about, too, is that at the end of all this, the result will not necessarily be Western-style democracy. It'll be something different to what they've had. But, this place isn't going to turn into Sweden overnight.
Well, we're speaking with the Middle East editor for the BBC, Jeremy Bowen. And Jeremy, I'm wondering, is there any kind of coherent strategy or approach coming from the African Union? I mean, there's a lot of situations to respond to, going all the way back to Sudan and Tunisia and Egypt and Ivory Coast and Libya. Do we see a sort of philosophy on these kind of uprisings or civil unrest coming out of that body?
Well, I'm more of a Middle East guy, so I think I could pronounce more accurately on what they're doing in this part of North Africa. And yes, there is a feeling, I think, from them that they can have an African solution. But the difficulty with these bodies, African Union and also, frankly, the European Union, is that getting a bunch of countries together and getting them to agree and getting them to be consistent and also getting them to put together the wherewithal to, say, monitor a ceasefire. And last night at a press conference here, one of the members of their delegation was saying that they certainly might be able to do that if there was a ceasefire. They were talking about an African Union role, perhaps in conjunction with others. But there's a feeling that, they feel that they can bring their approach to it. Now, it's difficult, though. It's difficult for any country. And, in a huge continent like Africa, there are many, many variations between different countries about what they actually want and what they can do as well.
But Jeremy, you've mentioned just a moment ago that really this is a tide of change that relates to the shifting demographics in the entire region, whether we're talking about Africa or the Middle East. Is this plan and from your standpoint there in Tripoli, at least an indication that the leadership in Libya recognizes that change is afoot, that something's going to have to give here? It may not be a departure of Muammar Gaddafi tomorrow, but certainly they're acknowledging for the first time that there's no more business as usual.
Well, if you know, I talk quite a bit here to people who you might describe as regime sources, and they say that more or less. They say, look, things are changing. They are changing. You have to accept all of that, and we accept that. But they're saying, look, but don't try and humiliate the guy. The word that was used to me by someone here in the regime was this has been a benign dictatorship compared to some. And there's a feeling in the high echelons here still of amazement and bemusement and perturbation that they've gone from being once more the friends of the West, because Libya came in from the cold, don't forget, and that flipped very quickly after these uprisings started, and suddenly they're outcasts again. And I think that has been an enormous shock to them, because they thought that they had changed their position.
And indeed, the question of shock in Libya and what form the actual change will take, we'll see if this African Union plan is the template as we attempt to move forward in Libya. That's the Middle East editor for our partner, the BBC, Jeremy Bowen, live in Tripoli, Libya. Jeremy, thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.